Chapter 10. The whale's mouth had to be at least as big as the cave behind the sandfall, and I struggled to find something to hold on to. I reached out for the sides of its mouth and its huge tongue, but everything was either out of my reach or so slippery my hands couldn't grasp it. Then I saw the beast starting to close its jaw, and I tried in vain to swim back out, but the current pushing me back into its mouth was too strong. I knew being swallowed by the creature would be a death sentence, but I was quickly sliding back toward its throat. Everything grew even darker around me as I slammed up against something huge. It was slimy and bumpy as a frog's back, and I soon determined I was under the animal's giant tongue, which seemed to be as big as a car. I knew I was going to have to make it to the side of its mouth where I was out of the tongue's way, but I was running out of time. The rough surface of the whale's tongue started to press down on me, and I struggled to crawl out from under the giant appendage. I could feel the pressure bearing down on me like an elephant was stepping on my back, and a stream of bubbles floated out of my mouth as I gasped for breath. I could barely see, but I was immediately grateful for my weighted leg armor, which held me down to the floor of the whale's mouth as I struggled to scramble to safety. I was glad I'd managed to hold on to Genie's wrath, because the violet stone was glowing and gave me a little light. Nonetheless, carrying the huge golden blade made it more difficult to move. The tongue was coming down so low on top of me that I had to crawl on my belly to avoid being totally trapped, but I finally made it to the side of the beast's mouth and collapsed for a moment next to its huge cone-shaped teeth. Each dirty, yellow, chipped tooth was about 5 feet tall, and they were snarled with seaweed and old pieces of fish. I was back near where the molars would be on a human, and I wasn't entirely sure how I was going to get out of my predicament. I tried to focus, but I was overcome by sensations. While the roaring of the sea was somewhat muffled, it was still incredibly loud, and I struggled to hear my own thoughts. Inside the whale's mouth was truly one of the grossest places I'd ever been. If I'd thought the whale smell had been strong from the outside, I was now completely overcome by the rotting garbage stench combined with the intense aroma of dead fish. The water was thick and slimy on my bare skin, and it felt disgustingly warm after being out in the chilly ocean for so long. I wished I was wearing a full hazmat suit instead of just my shorts, because even in the faint light, I could see random chunks of fish flesh in the viscous liquid. Despite the dimness, I was able to make out a huge crack in one of the giant teeth, and I realized it presented me with an opportunity. So I used all my strength to jam my fingers into the crack with my free hand, and I was able to use the leverage to pull myself into the space between the whale's teeth and the side of its mouth. The current toward the back of its mouth was still fairly strong, so although I didn't want to hurt the creature, I raised up my arm as high as I could and jabbed the tip of Genie's wrath into the whale's flesh in an attempt to hold on. I didn't think stabbing the whale would hurt it more than getting poked with a toothpick would hurt me, but the creature immediately opened its mouth and sang out in its deep, vibrating voice, which I assumed meant it was in pain. The force of its voice almost pushed me out of place, but I soon realized Genie's wrath was lodged far enough into the whale's gums that it was holding me in position. So I grabbed the hilt of my sword with both hands and held on as tightly as I could. The creature's mouth remained wide open, but I was so far back I wasn't sure I could let go of Genie's wrath due to my very real fear of being swallowed. As I stared out into the ocean, I realized I'd lost sight of my wives and Ariana's chariot, but the whale seemed to have slowed its swimming when I stabbed it, which gave me an idea. It would be risky, and I hated to do it, but I decided I had to try to injure the whale enough again to try and stop it in its tracks. The further away I got from my wives, the more I feared getting lost in the ocean forever. It appeared I'd already damaged the whale's mouth, however, because all of a sudden, a piece about a foot in diameter broke apart from the rest of the tooth it was attached to and hit me in the face. Pain flashed in bright colors behind my eyes, and I could tell the blow had split my lip open because I immediately tasted blood. I didn't have a free hand to push the broken tooth out of the way, but the crumbling material floated away from me, and I was left choking on salt water and the coppery taste on my tongue. The broken tooth had cleared more of a space between it and the tooth next to it, though, and I realized I could lodge myself into a more secure position if I could manage to get myself in between the two teeth. The broken tooth added a few more feet to the original space, and I was able to wedge my ass into the spot. Now that I was more secure, I was in a better position to pull Genie's wrath out of the whale's gums. When I tugged the sword free, a huge cloud of sticky, bright red blood floated out of its injury, and I tried not to vomit as I waved my hand to clear the water in front of my face. I didn't have time to waste, though, so I raised my sword up with both hands and brought it down as hard as I could. The whale cried out again, and I silently cheered when I sensed it stop swimming. It tried to push me and Genie's wrath out of its mouth with its huge tongue, but I was wedged too far between its teeth for it to dislodge me. The vibrations of its voice were so intense that I struggled not to be shaken from my position, but I managed to stay in place. I had more to worry about than the vibrations, however, as a huge jolt suddenly struck the animal. As I grabbed onto the hilt of Genie's wrath with both hands to hold on, I realized another migrating whale must have bumped into the one whose mouth I was in. The situation was definitely precarious, and I needed to come up with an escape plan. "Come on, Joe, think," I muttered to myself. Then I snorted briefly when I thought back to Pinocchio and the way he and Geppetto had lit a fire to make the whale sneeze so they could escape. I wondered if sparks from Genie's wrath would work the same way, but it still wouldn't solve the problem of me having to make it to the front of the beast's mouth, and I didn't want to hurt the whale any more than I had to. I felt slightly ridiculous, but I removed one of my hands from my sword to try to tickle the inside of the creature's cheek. I didn't have high hopes, so I wasn't surprised when nothing happened. I looked down at the spot where Genie's wrath was jammed into the whale, and I suddenly had an idea. A vision popped into my head of people climbing glaciers using an ice pick, and I wondered if I could grab onto the whale's teeth with one hand while using my sword as a tool. I knew I was risking a lot by moving from my relatively secure position, but I didn't feel like I had a choice, so I slowly pulled myself out of the space between the whale's teeth as I held onto Genie's wrath, and from my position between the animal's teeth and the inside of its cheek, I wedged my fingers into the crack in the next tooth. Then I crossed my fingers as I pulled my sword out of its spot and jammed it into a space a couple feet closer to the front of the creature's mouth. It seemed I'd actually made it a couple feet closer to where I needed to be, and I breathed a sigh of relief. The next few minutes passed slowly, and it seemed like every time I jabbed the whale, it opened its mouth in its version of a roar. The vibrations rattled me to my bones, but I white-knuckled the golden hilt of my blade and kept inching forward. When I looked toward the opening again, I finally caught a glimpse of the princesses in Ariana's chariot, and I silently cheered. As far as I could tell, I had no way to communicate that I was safe, but I was glad my wives were aware of my location. I continued to use the cracked teeth as handholds and Genie's wrath as a pick to make my way toward the front of the whale's mouth. It seemed like its teeth were never ending, and I was starting to grow exhausted from the effort it took just to pull myself a couple of feet forward against the strong current. I also felt a little bad about the pain I was inflicting on the whale, but I didn't see any other way to navigate around its mouth and keep myself alive. Finally, I started to get closer to the space where the whale's mouth was large enough for me to fit through. I thought it would only take a couple more times of pulling myself forward to finally escape, and I was incredibly relieved. But the next time I stabbed the whale with Genie's wrath, the mouth didn't open. "Fuck!" I cursed. I was so close to freedom. As an experiment, I lifted my sword up and then stabbed it down as hard as I could into the whale's gums, but nothing happened. I paused for a moment to try to figure out what was going on, and I realized how heavily I was breathing. Something had changed, but I wasn't sure what. I looked around, and I suddenly realized how still the animal was all of a sudden. Its tongue had stopped poking around trying to find me, and it was no longer making any noise. The change was eerie, and while the whale's lack of motion was certainly to my advantage, I wasn't sure what to make of it. I continued to move myself forward, but there was still no sign of movement from the whale. I was now almost close enough to squeeze through and head out into the open ocean, but its mouth wasn't budging. I gritted my teeth with frustration and started to imagine being stuck inside the disgusting orifice forever, but I knew this was no time to panic. Just then, Genie's wrath began to buzz in my hand, and I realized the purple gem was flashing rhythmically, as if it were trying to send me some sort of signal. I'd never seen it do that before, and I stared at the purple glow with fascination as it lit up the entire cavern. Soon, the vibrating sensation spread up my arm, through my shoulder and neck, and up into my head itself. I briefly laughed as it tickled my body, but I soon grew a little dizzy, and I wondered what was happening to me. The last thing I needed was to lose control of my senses, and I stared at the flashing light to center myself. And then I started to hear voices. I hoped I wasn't losing my mind, but I thought I could hear Ariana's voice through the buzzing feeling in my brain. It sounded incredibly far away and fuzzy, like I wasn't quite tuned into a radio station, and I struggled to hear her words.
Hypnotize.
That one word came through loud and clear from amidst all the noise, and it occurred to me what might have happened to the whale. If Jessamine had sung in Ariana's voice, it could have been possible for her to hypnotize the giant creature. Then it occurred to me through the fog in my brain how strange it was to hear my wife right now. We'd never had this sort of telepathy in the past, and I wondered if it had something to do with the magic amulet. In any case, the effect was pretty incredible, and my mind was slightly blown. I wondered if it would be possible for me to communicate back to the princesses, and if so, what it would make sense for me to tell them. I couldn't think of any way for my wives to open the whale's mouth, so I struggled to come up with a solution. I assumed Jessamine was concentrating on her singing with her sister wives' help, but I wasn't sure how long she could hold the spell. I decided to keep pulling myself forward until I could come up with something, but the buzzing in my head was distracting me.
Help, Joe!
I heard Sienna say. Suddenly, the spell must have broken because the whale's tongue started to jerk around. I thought maybe it would open its mouth if I stabbed it again, but then I noticed something new. A stream of fish that were about a foot long had started to swim into the creature's giant mouth, and obviously they had to be coming from somewhere. I peered through the dim purple light, and I realized there was a small opening in the whale's snout, even when its mouth was closed. The animal's tongue stopped moving again, so I realized the princesses must have been focusing all their energy on keeping the whale hypnotized. I wished I was the size of a fish, so I could just swim through the hole myself. And then I had an idea. I grabbed hold of Genie's wrath to try to focus my power, and then I tried to concentrate through the buzzing sensation. I tried to think of only one word, small, and I hoped as hard as I could that the princesses would be able to hear me. I listened to the fuzzy radio inside my head, but I couldn't make out any of their communication. Small, I said it out loud, to see if that would make a difference. Small. Small, 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 small.
Joe! Small!
I suddenly heard through the static, and I cheered out loud. I couldn't believe it had actually worked, and I couldn't wait to talk to my wives about what was happening, if and when I actually made it out of this nightmare. Suddenly, my entire body began to tingle. The whale's mouth seemed to be spinning around me, and I felt dizzy and nauseous. Sparks in all colors of the rainbow danced in front of my eyes, and I struggled to maintain my composure amidst some of the oddest sensations I'd ever felt. Then I looked up, and I realized the closest tooth now loomed above me. I couldn't have been more than about 6 inches tall. It seemed Jessamine had actually managed to get my message and transform me, and now I just needed to make it out of there. The whale came out of its hypnosis again, so I pulled the now tiny Genie's wrath from its spot and stabbed it further along my exit route. Unfortunately, it seemed my jabs were now too small for the animal to feel them, and its mouth didn't open. Nonetheless, I knew there was still hope if I could make it to the place where the fish had swum through. The fish now looked as big as whales from their position above my head, and I knew I had to keep from being eaten. I laughed grimly at the thought of being inside a fish inside a whale, but I knew I needed to focus. The buzzing in my head was growing quieter, but since I'd already conveyed my message to my wives, I didn't think it mattered. I hiked toward the opening in the whale's mouth using Genie's wrath as a walking stick. I silently implored the sword to stop flashing so it wouldn't call attention to me, and my thoughts seemed to have an effect. The violet stone grew dim, and I smiled with relief. The closer I got to the fish's entryway, the more it seemed like this was actually going to work. I'd almost made it when I noticed a fish headed back out into the open water, and an idea popped into my head. If Aquaman had been able to commandeer fish, I thought maybe I could too. I was somewhat terrified at the thought of swimming again, but the sooner I was free, the better. So, I released the switches on my leg armor, and I swam as fast as I could to make it to the fish I was targeting. The animal was almost out of my grasp. But then I shot myself forward and grabbed a hold of its gills. It tried to reach back and bite me, but before I knew it, the fish started to swim forward again, and we made it out through the opening. I breathed a huge sigh of relief to be out in the open water again, but I soon realized my small size made me a target for most sea life right now. I looked back up at the whale for a moment, and I thought about the way my wives and I had been surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands, of whales just a few minutes prior. The parade of the majestic creatures was now even more overwhelming than it had been when I was the size of a regular human, and I wasn't sure what to do as I looked around in vain for my wives. I called their names, but my tiny voice barely made any sound at all over the rushing of the currents. And then, suddenly, everything froze around me. "Sienna!" I shouted. I knew my blonde wife was saving my life right now, and I'd hoped she'd be able to find me. Before I could yell out again, though, I was scooped up from behind, and I turned around to see the blonde's giant, beautiful face.
"Joe!"
Her voice seemed to boom through the water, and her azure eyes towered over me as she brought my tiny body close to her face.
"You're alive! We were so scared and didn't know what to do!"
"Me either!" I shouted, but she didn't seem to be able to hear me, so I gestured upward at her, and she put me on her shoulder next to her ear. "That was fucking crazy!"
"Yeah, it was fucking terrifying,"
Sienna repeated with a smile on her face, but then it crumbled into tears.
"Joe, I have no fucking clue what I'd do without you. Don't ever get eaten by a whale again."
"I won't," I promised, and I really, really hoped it was a promise I could keep. "Where are Jessamine and Ariana?"
"They're over there."
Sienna sniffled and gestured vaguely off to the side.
"Let's go see them. They're going to be so glad to see you, you don't even know."
"I think I do," I laughed as I held onto her earlobe. Then, time rushed back into motion, and I had to scream even louder. "I've never missed anyone so much before as I've missed the three of you!" We headed over to Ariana's chariot, which was parked well away from the stream of whales. Jessamine and Ariana sat in the front row with mournful frowns, but as soon as they caught sight of Sienna with me on her shoulder, they squealed with excitement and swam out to come see us.
"Oh, Joe, that was so crazy!"
Jessamine shouted as she headed in our direction.
"I'm so glad you're okay. Could you hear us?"
Ariana gasped, and her aqua eyes were huge and wide.
"We took out the rock and turned it back into the turquoise amulet, just in case that would help. Then, I felt a lot of buzzing, and I couldn't believe it when I heard you speaking in my head. And here you are, and you're small, and everything's all right."
"Tell her I said everything is okay now," I instructed Sienna, and then a sly grin spread across my face as an incredible idea popped into my head. "But one of you could make things better." I gestured down at Sienna's breasts, which looked like they were the size of massive boulders, and I wiggled my tiny eyebrows.
"Yeah, I don't think so."
Sienna rolled her eyes, but she couldn't hide her grin.
"Don't think what?"
Jessamine asked with wide eyes.
"I think this little guy here,"
my blonde wife began and gestured to me.
"I think he wants to touch our giant boobs."
Jessamine looked over at me and I nodded vigorously.
"What did you say?"
Ariana asked with bright red cheeks.
"Tell her I want to ride around in someone's bra," I snickered.
"Joe, you're insane,"
the blonde snorted as her shoulders shook with laughter.
"I just think you're weird, but maybe Jessamine will do it."
"What will I do?"
my dark-haired wife asked with a smile.
"Ken, Joe, ride around in your bra for a few minutes."
Sienna could barely get the words out because she was laughing so hard.
Okay,
Jessamine replied, but apparently her sister wife's laughter was contagious because she started cracking up too.
"Tell her I'm serious," I said into Sienna's ear. Tell her it's my honest-to-God fantasy right now.
Sienna relayed my words to Jessamine, and my dark-haired wife shrugged.
Okay, why not? Anything for Joe, right?
Jessamine plucked me off Sienna's shoulder and inserted my small body into the front of her metal swimsuit. I wished she was wearing something a little softer, because the armor was cold and hard against my skin. But I soon forgot about all that when I grabbed a hold of her giant breast and began climbing toward her nipple. It was like a hill of soft, sweet skin, and her golden nipple was the size of my head. "This is fucking amazing," I squeaked in my tiny voice, even though I knew no one could hear me. Jessamine had started swimming toward the chariot while I explored my new fantasy. My cock started to get hard, and I snickered at the thought of the next natural step, which was fucking her using my entire body as a dildo.
All right, Joe. You feel like a mosquito.
Jessamine laughed, and she pulled me out of her top and killed my train of thought.
We need you to protect us, so I'm going to make you big again.
You already did,
I managed to get out while I was still tiny. My own jokes were cracking me up, but before I knew it, a familiar tingling sensation zapped through me, and I was regular-sized Joe again.
So, I guess that really was your fantasy.
Sienna gestured at the front of my tented shorts. I told you I was serious, I chuckled and winked at my blonde wife. Don't blame me. Next time it's going to be your bra.
Yeah, right. Next time.
Sienna laughed and rolled her eyes.
In any case, it's nice to have you back,
Ariana said, as her cheeks flushed even brighter.
What was most amazing was our communication while you were in the whale's mouth. What was it like for you?
Yeah, that was crazy. My head started buzzing really loud and everything sounded really distorted. And then I could hear you talking about hypnotizing the whale. Well, I could only hear one word at a time, but it definitely seemed to be the important ones. I could hear you talking, Ariana. But I even heard Sienna at one point, too.
Wow.
Ariana breathed, and I could practically see the gears turn behind her aqua eyes.
And then your words came through into my head. It was just like you described. It was all fuzzy. And then I heard you say small. I told Jessamine, and she transformed you. And here you are.
The redhead's eyes filled up with tears, and I grabbed her around the waist and pulled her in for a kiss on the cheek. Hey, it's okay. I'm back now, I reassured her, and she smiled at me.
Yes, you're back,
Ariana repeated, and she took a deep breath like she was trying to compose herself.
Everything is okay, and we're definitely going to have to test our telepathy more. I know we've all gotten stronger since we got Eudora's necklace, so there's a lot to figure out. In the meantime, I guess we should get going. These whales were amazing, but I don't want to see one again for a long time.
Yeah, I hear that, I grimaced. I didn't know if I was ever going to get the whale scent out of my nose after this, and I still felt like I was covered in slime from being in the giant animal's mouth. Ariana climbed into the front seat of the chariot, and I climbed in next to her and laid Genie's Wrath on the floor in front of me.
Bye, whales,
Jessamine said as she turned back to look at the incredible beasts migrating, and then she slid down into the seat next to me. Actually, I think I should be on the outside, I told her, and then I stood up and let her and Sienna scoot by me to sit next to Ariana. I wish there were two of me so I could protect all of you from both sides, but I suppose this'll have to do for now.
Two Joes?
Sienna laughed mischievously and stroked my thigh.
Imagine everything we could do with that. But seriously, Joe, you saved my life when the chariot got hit by the whale, so thank you.
I would do it again in a heartbeat, I replied to the blonde before a shudder ran through my body. But I have to tell you, being in that whale's mouth was the grossest thing that's ever happened to me. And as a plumber, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, you kind of smell.
Jessamine laughed and wrinkled her nose.
But don't worry. The salt water will wash you clean soon enough.
In any case, I'm going to get us moving,
Ariana told us, and she pulled up on the reins and commanded Callie to go. Where do you think we're headed now? I asked her as the chariot jolted back into motion.
We're just going deeper and deeper and closer to Eudora,
the redhead said with a shudder, and then she focused her full attention back on directing the seahorses.
Yeah, it seems to be getting darker,
Jessamine said, and she shook her head.
I hope it's not going to get too scary from here on out. Almost losing Joe was bad enough.
As long as we all stick together, I think we'll be all right, I tried to reassure my wives. As predicted, the ocean got dimmer and dimmer the longer we traveled, and I started to catch glimpses of creepy lanternfish and other monstrous skeletal creatures. I thought we were at least as deep as the boneyard, because I had the same slight burning sensation in my lungs and throat that meant we were getting really, really far down. We traveled for a few minutes in silence, but little seemed to be changing around us. The only light left was from our lanterns, and I wondered what was next.
I don't like this,
Sienna whispered, and she wrung her pale hands together in her lap. It wasn't like the blonde to be overtly scared, but I knew everyone had been shaken by the whale incident.
I don't either,
Ariana said, and she set her mouth into a firm line.
I just have to keep telling myself we're strong enough to handle anything, especially now that Joe is back.
Wait,
Jessamine suddenly cried out.
Do you see something? Really, really far ahead?
I squinted into the murky water ahead of us, and I was incredibly relieved to see what looked like the lights of a small village off in the distance. Oh, thank fuck, I sighed.